A joyful convention in Russia. Another important milestone in theocratic history was the International Convention held in St. Petersburg, Russia, in June 1992. For many of the 1,000 delegates who attended from Estonia, it was a happy reunion with former prison mates and with other witnesses they had met during their exile in Siberia. "The timing of the convention was excellent for us," says one of the delegates. "We chartered a special train for quite a low price with Russian rubles. Then, just 1 week before the convention, Estonia changed its currency from rubles to Estonian kroni. If we had been away that specific week of the conversion, we would not have been in Estonia to change any of our money. However, even though we were there to change our money, we were permitted to convert only a limited sum of money. What should we do with the extra rubles that we had been unable to convert? Because rubles were still being used in Russia, brothers took the rubles with them to the convention and put them in the contribution boxes. In addition, if the convention had been a week later, when new border regulations were implemented, we would have had to obtain expensive visas to cross the border. The convention was at precisely the right time for the brothers." One of the many whose hearts were touched by this historic convention was an interested woman who had arranged to travel from Estonia with the witnesses. "Somehow I misunderstood the departure time," she relates. "When I arrived at the station, the train had already departed. But I had paid for the trip. What could I do now? I prayed to Jehovah, asking him to please help me and telling him that I would do whatever I could to get there. The station master said that I would have to buy a ticket for another train, but I didn't have enough money for another ticket. Suddenly, I saw a group of people arriving at the station. They were all so happy and well-dressed. They were witnesses from the island of Sarama. Their train had not arrived yet, and my ticket enabled me to travel with them. What a relief!" While traveling, the witnesses sang kingdom songs, which had a special impact on me. I felt as though I had been adopted as part of their spiritual family. I stayed with them for the entire convention and saw how sincere and loving they were. This melted away all my doubts. It was now clear to me that I had found God's earthly organization. This former interested person now serves as a regular pioneer, together with her husband. Willing workers welcome. The preaching work and the organization were progressing rapidly, and there was a need for more brothers with theocratic experience. Who could fill this growing need? Like Isaiah, many responded and said, "Here I am, send me." Isaiah 6:8. The first four Gilead-trained missionaries, Vesa and Leena Maria Edvig, as well as Essa and Yael Nissinen, arrived in 1992. Reno and Leslie Kesk, who had been in the traveling work in Canada for 17 years, were also among those assigned to Estonia. Then, in the spring of 1993, 20 pioneers from Finland were assigned to serve in the Estonian and the Russian language fields as special pioneers, and four more missionaries arrived. Thereafter, missionaries were sent to Estonia from several consecutive Gilead classes, bringing with them much joy and enthusiasm. Some missionaries without Gilead training were also assigned here. The energetic missionaries and eager special pioneers continued to fortify the solid foundation that had been laid by loyal Estonian brothers and sisters over the course of many decades. In addition, some 200 foreign brothers and sisters have come to serve where the need is greater. Their spiritual maturity has helped to strengthen and stabilize the congregations. Many new congregations were established, and these brothers from other lands were the only elders in some of the congregations until the local brothers made enough progress to take on more responsibility. Lembit Valia is one who came to help. He was born in Estonia, survived World War II, and moved to Australia, where he became a witness. When he was about to retire, he decided to move back to Estonia in 1990 to help quench the spiritual thirst of the many interested ones. He recalls that at one point, he studied with 18 groups scattered over half of Estonia, with about 80 people attending. He traveled to those groups by bus, often spending the night at bus stations in his sleeping bag. More than 50 of his Bible students have been baptized, and at the age of 84, he is still conducting 4 Bible studies. His hard work and sacrifices have borne excellent fruit. There are now thriving congregations and kingdom halls in most of the towns he used to visit. In return, those willing brothers who came here to help have benefited. Many have described what an enriching experience it has been for them to get to know the local people and their way of life. It widens your view, explains Reino Kesk, and helps you to see things a little more the way Jehovah must as he looks at the whole world. First Circuit Overseer's Visits. At that time of rapid growth, the encouraging visits of traveling overseers did much to fortify the congregations. The circuit overseers poured themselves into their assignments, often putting in 15-hour days, sharing in field service, attending and conducting meetings, and answering the many questions that the brothers asked. The first circuit to be formed covered Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Kaliningrad. Within that territory, there were 46 congregations and 12 groups in 4 languages. The circuit overseer also had additional time-consuming assignments, such as handling registration procedures in Latvia and Lithuania. Now, in Estonia alone, there are 4 circuits. The publishers appreciated the circuit overseer's visit so much, remembers Lowry Nordling, a local brother who served as a circuit overseer in 1995. Often when we met for field service, the room was full of people. Once, a tiny one-room apartment was jammed with about 70 brothers and sisters. If you had thrown an apple in the air, there would not have been anywhere for it to land on the floor. Challenges of learning a new language. It is a challenge for most people to learn a new language, and Estonian is a particularly difficult one to master. For example, Marku Ketula, a new missionary, was talking to a man about Jesus Christ. Instead of saying that Jesus is the Rahuvurst, the Prince of Peace, he stressed a few times that Jesus is the Rahuvorst, the Sausage of Peace. Only when Marku opened the Bible to Isaiah 9:6 did the puzzled man grasp that the true source of peace is not something that can be eaten. A pioneer sister was learning Russian after she moved to Estonia. While engaging in the preaching work, she inadvertently knocked on the door of a local elder, whom she did not recognize. Dictionary in hand, she began her presentation. The brother tried to explain that he was an elder in the congregation. She quickly looked up the word elder and found the word old. "Oh," said the sister, "you're not that old. Besides, in the paradise, you can grow young again." Only after he showed her the theocratic publications in his apartment did she understand that he was not so old, but was actually an elder. An atheist judge learns the truth. During the Soviet era, Viktor Sen was sentenced to prison for 2 years because he refused to do military service. After serving a year in prison, he petitioned to be voluntarily exiled to Siberia as a free settler, an option that would give him more freedom. At the parole hearing, the judges vented their indignation on him, one judge even saying that people like him should be hung or shot. A few years later, at a convention, a brother introduced Viktor to a group of interested people and asked him, "Do you recognize anyone?" "No," responded Viktor. "Really?" asked the brother. Then, pointing to one of the men in the group, who was clearly very embarrassed, he asked, "What about this man?" Viktor still did not recognize the man. How surprised Viktor was to find out that the man was Yuri, one of the associate judges at his parole hearing. Now he was studying the Bible and was at the convention with Viktor. What had changed Yuri's mind about Jehovah's Witnesses? "I was raised in a family of aggressive atheists," explains Yuri. During my schooling, I often gave speeches about the danger of religion. Then, years later, I sat in on a few of my friends' Bible studies with Jehovah's Witnesses. I realized that while I had a good knowledge of religious lies, I really didn't know anything about the Bible. I thus became interested in learning more about the Bible. After Yuri was baptized, he said to Victor, "When we were last in court together, we sat on different benches. But if we ever end up at a similar trial again, we'll be sitting on the same bench. I will never be the one to sentence you." Yuri and Victor now both serve as elders in Tallinn. A memorable memorial. A brother who had just moved to Estonia approached Pavel and Margarita and in broken Estonian managed to say, "If you want everlasting life, you must come to the memorial of Christ's death tonight." Intrigued, the couple decided to attend. Pavel and Margarita were warmly welcomed at the memorial. But as the program proceeded, they were somewhat alarmed when they saw a man walking up and down the aisle looking at people and making notes. They did not realize that he was only counting how many were in attendance. Pavel and Margarita began to doubt whether they should have come, but they were afraid to leave because it looked to them as if two big men were guarding the doors. Not realizing that the brothers were simply attendants, Pavel and Margarita decided that it would be better not to try to leave. At the end of the memorial talk, though, Pavel and Margarita were interested when they heard the speaker offer a free home Bible study to anyone who wanted one. Their fears were allayed when the brothers warmly introduced themselves afterward, so the couple asked for a Bible study. Because they planned to move away in 2 weeks, they asked if they could have a study each day. When they did move into their new home, they eagerly phoned the brothers nearby, introduced themselves, and resumed their Bible study. Eyewitnesses of Your Fine Works. Jehovah's Witnesses in Estonia express love for one another, as do their brothers and sisters earthwide. Others observe such expressions and are drawn to true worship. Toivo received the book Mankind's Search for God from a sister who had cut his hair at a barber shop. When he finished reading it, he wanted to attend a meeting at the Kingdom Hall, but he was hesitant because he had been warned about the witnesses. So he decided to observe the witnesses at the Kingdom Hall from the safety of his car. He wanted to see what kind of people went into the hall before the meeting and what they looked like when they came out of the hall after the meeting. He was most impressed when he saw the sisters warmly embracing each other. He could readily see that these people truly cared for one another. He eagerly started attending meetings and began to study the Bible. He made rapid progress and was soon zealously preaching to others. He is now a baptized witness. Jehovah has answered my prayer. In 1997, a copy of Kingdom News No. 35 was handed to Maria in the tiny village of Totsi. She read the tract and wrote to the branch office asking for a Bible study. Shortly thereafter, Marku and Serba Ketula, missionaries living in Pärnu, started to study the Bible with Maria. It was not long before Maria began to talk about the truth with others, and soon her daughter-in-law Ingrid and Ingrid's neighbor Male both joined the study. When Maria wanted to participate in the ministry, the elders recommended that she first attend congregation meetings regularly. However, the nearest congregation was in Pärnu, 25 miles away, and she didn't have much money to travel. So, at the encouragement of the missionaries, Maria prayed for Jehovah's help. "Jehovah has answered my prayer," said Maria happily the next time the missionaries visited her. "How did he answer your prayer?" Marku and Serba inquired. "I will gather some people together at my house," she explained enthusiastically, "and you can arrange meetings and establish a congregation here. Then I can attend the meetings and also start in the field service." The missionaries did not want to stifle her eagerness, but they tactfully explained that forming a new congregation was not that simple. They encouraged her to try to get to the meetings in Pärnu, at least on Sundays for a start. Again, Maria made her meeting attendance a matter of prayer. In addition, Maria decided to save money by canceling her newspaper. Soon she had enough money to attend meetings 4 times a month and was delighted to begin sharing in the preaching work. But Maria was to enjoy even greater blessings. In view of the growing interest in Tsotsi, the elders arranged to have a book study there, which Maria, Ingrid, Male, and other interested ones could attend. Just a few months later, both Maria and Male were baptized, and Ingrid was baptized the following summer. Male's husband was baptized not long afterward, and Male's sister was baptized the following winter. The thriving little group in Tsotsi is grateful that Kingdom News No. 35 introduced the truth to their small village, and that they have experienced Jehovah's blessing in response to their many prayers. The last 2 decades have been full of fruitful kingdom activity and much joy as many honest-hearted people have flocked to Jehovah's organization. Where, though, would all those righteously disposed people gather to worship the true God and be taught by Him?